Hey everyone, welcome back to the Period Chats podcast. I'm Kate Morton, your host, and I'm also a registered dietitian with a master's degree in human clinical nutrition and the founder of Funk It Wellness, where you can find all your hormone support. But today we're going to be talking a little less about hormones and more about how radical self-acceptance can be such an integral part of your wellness routine. We know it's January. There is a lot of noise right now about new year, new me, best me, my year. And personally, I don't love it. So we're going to talk about how to just really accept yourself and really love yourself this month, and then find out like what your higher purpose is through that. And I couldn't think of a better guest than Lily from the 80/20 podcast, who's already been a guest before. I'm going to link our past episode where we talked a lot about mindset, but today is all about radical self-acceptance. So Lily, I want to hand it over to you. Give us a quick introduction, and then I'd love to hear how you define radical self-acceptance, because everyone's got a little bit of a different definition.
Thanks, Kate, for having me. I'm so pumped to be here. Like Kate said, I am a podcast host. I host 80/20. I'm also more recently an author, which we'll talk about a little bit in today's episode, which is really exciting. And radical self-acceptance has been on my mind and on my heart for probably the past year. And it's been quite a journey, and it's more than just your run of the mill, how to get confidence, you know, how to self-love, self-care, all those things. There's so many buzzwords when it comes to self-improvement, and the phrase radical self-acceptance, I think, is the most deeply rooted, for lack of a better word, buzzword that I've heard in the self-improvement space. And so I've really clung to that. And for me, radical self-acceptance comes from a true place of love and realizing that you don't have to be what everyone else is telling you to be. You don't have to be the trends. You don't have to look like everybody else, follow the crowd, be a part of the masses. You can truly do what you feel called to do and do it in a loving manner, and love yourself while doing it. So in a nutshell, that's radical self-acceptance. But I'm excited to kind of dive into what all that means today.
I love that, coming at it as a place of self-love, because this is a really interesting thought. There was this trend going around social media. I don't know if you've seen it. It's like, I've never seen a relaxed woman in my life. Do you remember that was like all over TikTok? And it got me really thinking about how learning to love, accept, and take care of ourselves are very intertwined. And in a society that's constantly telling everyone, in my opinion, specifically women, that we're not good enough, we're not small enough, we're not all these things, we're not enough all the time, that self-acceptance is something from an early age we're deprived of and not taught to have. And I think it comes from a place of a lot of people in our lives don't know it and they've never had it. And so yeah, when you were talking about that, just like brought that back up for me of that trend of like, it is something you have to learn, but like, where are we going to learn it from?
Oh, absolutely. And I think too, like, I mean, I think back to how I was as a kid, and I like to call myself like a free range kid. Like, my mom kind of let me do whatever I wanted to do.
Wait, myself a free range kid, and I've never heard anyone ever use that term before.
Really?
And it makes my husband laugh because he's like a free range chicken.
No, exactly. That's like where I came up with it. It was like a free range chick. I call myself a free range kid. That's crazy. That's so, do you still call yourself a free range kid?
Yeah, that's how I was. My parents were awesome, but they were like, you do you, honey. We trust you. I'm like, should you trust me? Probably not.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know if I even trust myself, but like, okay. And so, so from a young age, I kind of just like did whatever I wanted to do, but I wasn't immune to this idea that I felt like I still had to fit in. And because I was, you know, a free range kid, I felt like, you know, I could do what I wanted to do, but like maybe not, from like a psychological standpoint to some degree. And it wasn't until people started planting these ideas in my head of like, oh, you should look like this girl, or oh, you should make sure that your hair looks like this, or hey, you need to eat this and not that. And so once I started kind of receiving these negative ideas of who I should be and how I should operate, that's when my self-acceptance and kind of my desire to be a free-range kid really started to plummet. And I think that because I was influenced by all of these outside voices, we'll call it the noise, it was really tough to come out of that and tune that out. And so I really think that cutting out the noise, I know that we'll get into this later, but I'm like jumping ahead just a smidge, but cutting out the noise, I think, has been such a important factor in radical self-acceptance. I'm kind of just going on a tangent here, but I do think that when it comes to deciding whether or not you want to embark on this journey, you have to make a couple sacrifices. And whether that means tuning out the noise or unfollowing people on Instagram or stop, you know, associating with people who make you feel bad about yourself, that was such a big thing for me. And I think that that is definitely the direction that I'm moving in, is deciding what's worth my time and what isn't when it comes to accepting myself.
I think that is one of the most beautiful acts of self-love. And it's so interesting you bring up that childhood experience, because I had a really similar one. I moved a lot as a kid. And like you, I didn't have anyone at home telling me who to be or what I should be or how I should look. And I remember when I moved from Chicago to Alabama, I was sitting at the lunch table, and I remember consciously making myself use the word y'all like multiple times so that I could fit in. And that was in like fourth grade. And I feel like fourth grade was the year I really like abandoned everything I wanted and just became who I thought everyone else wanted me to be. And I'm almost 30. And I don't think I truly realized that until about 12 months ago, that wow, so much of my whole life has been lived for other people. And so I think it's probably a really common thing. I'd love to hear from anyone who's listening, like, is that something you experienced? Because yeah, around fourth grade is when I remember kind of abandoning my wants and needs and trying to be like everybody else.
Yeah, I think that's probably about like the prime age too. Like, I have this vivid memory of sitting on the school bus and this girl saying that she hates her hair. And I had never thought once about hating my hair, because that just like wasn't something that crossed my mind. But I have naturally curly hair, and I straighten it and I blow dry it. And I mean, it's kind of frizzing up now because it's like crazy and windy and rainy outside. But I never hated my hair until that moment. And it's taken me until this year when I've actually learned to like care for my hair and like how to grow it stronger and make it less frizzy and like, you know, do all the things, have I actually learned to love and accept my hair. And that's such a silly thing. Like, it's hair, you know?
It's wild. And the other thing too is I love fashion and clothing, and I love funky, weird stuff, or quote unquote weird. And I didn't realize how much of my fashion identity I had aligned to dress for the male gaze. It wasn't what I liked, because I was like, oh, well, boys aren't going to like this outfit, or a boy will never like me if I wear this outfit because it's weird. And it's even just like now undoing that is like, well, do I like this outfit, or do I think it's going to make me look a certain way? And I think it's really powerful questions to ask yourself, like, do I like something, or is it something I think someone else is going to like?
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of a question that I've been asking myself is like, okay, do I really believe in this, or is this just what's trendy? Or do I really think that way, or is this just the way that everyone else thinks, you know?
Yeah, that's such a good question. But I want to circle back to the noise, because I think what we're getting at here is there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of people telling you what to do. And all of this when we were in fourth grade was like way before social media. So in a world of everyone trying to tell you what to do and who to be and how to heal, how do you tune in to figure out what your own radical self-acceptance is versus just doing what someone else tells you to do?
Yeah, so I think on a really tangible level, just unfollowing people on Instagram or TikTok or whatever your preferred social media platform is, whatever like app you accidentally press when you open your phone and you're like, oh, how did I get here? Like, that's the app that you need to just do away with, because it is insane the difference that it makes in your brain when you don't pay attention to what's going on that app. And I've had to really do a little bit of a social media detox. Before we hopped on the mic, we both talked about how we were a little like foggy because it's the first week, or I guess it's the second week now after Christmas. And we've kind of been in this like, you know, I don't want to call it a distraction, but it's just, it's been fun.
It's like a haze. And I found holiday haze.
Yes, yes. The holiday haze. We've been in the holiday haze. And I've been on my phone a little bit more than I should have been, just because I've had more free time, which is fine. But I think that because of that, I've felt really anxious, and I've had to kind of detox social media a little bit and log on when I have to make a post, or log on when it's time to, you know, repost about the podcast or make an announcement or something. But other than that, I've really, really tried to put it away, because I've felt such an anxious and kind of like, I guess we'll call it like hustle culture, New Year's culture, like go, go, go. It's time to grind, hit the gym, do this, do that. And which is fine because, you know, we should all hit the gym and do this and do that, I guess. But you don't need to constantly be flooded with those ideas. And especially because social media is just a highlight reel, you're only really seeing like 2 seconds of that person's day. You're seeing one picture of them at the gym. It could have been from yesterday. It very well could have been from last week. So you really have no idea what anyone else is doing. Everybody could be lying for all you know, and it's really just noise. So tuning out the social media has been huge for me. And then also kind of deciding that there are some voices in my life that I will take advice from until the cows come home. And then there are some people in my life that I don't listen to a word they say because they have a different perspective on life that doesn't necessarily bring happiness or help me in my self-acceptance journey. And unfortunately, I can't listen to what they say because it puts me in a bad place. And I'm sure everyone listening to this is thinking of a person who has spoken words into their life that have brought them down. And quite frankly, that's not okay. And I don't think that we often give ourselves enough grace to be like, you know what, hey, this person, maybe it's a family member or friend, this person, I love you, but I can't bring you into this, you know, sacred like bubble that I have going on because I'm trying to learn how to accept myself better and you don't help me do that. So deciding that some people don't help you accept yourself is one of the hardest things that I've ever had to learn. But in contrast, you might find a lot of people that do help you accept yourself. And when you find those people, you have to cling to them. You have to build community. Before we hopped on the mic, we were talking about how just talking to people is such an incredible skill that you can have and helps build community. Even when you get vulnerable or tell them things that maybe you're up to, and even if, you know, you want advice or don't want advice, just talking to people builds such a community. And I'm such a firm believer in that. And I think that's probably why we both have podcasts. But truly speaking to people, being vulnerable about your problems, as long as you trust them, it can be such an incredible tool when it comes to accepting yourself, because more often than not, you'll talk about something and they'll be like, wait a second, I thought that was just me. Wait a second, I thought I was the only one that struggled with that. Wait a second, you too? And you'll be so surprised when you start sharing your story that most of us aren't really all that different.
That's such interesting tips, because I'm just thinking as we're talking about like, okay, I've been on this journey too. Like, what have I really been doing? And it's all those things. Like, I deleted the TikTok app. I don't have it on my phone, and I love TikTok and I really enjoyed posting on there. Was so bad for my mental health personally, like anxious and was buying way too much crap. I love to shop and like it was not good for me in any way and making me think I needed to fit in. And so I had to delete TikTok and it was hard. I feel like I had like a TikTok detox. Like I was like grumpy for like 3 days after, and then unfollowing, blocking.
Yeah, it's almost like a like an addiction to some degree. I mean, I know I've like more times than not, I've opened up Instagram just because I've looked at my phone and all of a sudden I'm sitting here and I'm like, how did I even get here? I didn't even remember picking up my phone.
It's wild.
And, you know, I'm just, yeah.
It's wild. And yeah, you go through like a detox period. But what I cannot stress enough to anyone listening is your point on the people in your life. This is something I used to be so passive about who I allowed access to my life. And I want to remind anyone who's listening, you have the power. Like, you are special. You matter. This is important. And it is a privilege to know you. Like, it is a privilege to know you. It is a privilege to be a part of your life. And it's not a privilege everyone deserves nor should have access to. And I didn't love myself enough for a long time to really believe that. And once I believed it, you wouldn't believe the difference in the people that showed up in my life. I mean, I can't even explain it. I don't know if you've experienced something similar, but I had to really like, that was really hard for me to love myself enough to cut out the people who didn't need to be in my life, but then to also allow the good people in my life. I remember telling my therapist, I just made this friend and she like did all these nice things for me. And I don't know what to do. I don't think I'd be friends with her. She's too nice to me. My therapist was like, what do you mean? Isn't that what friends are for? And I was like, oh my gosh, I have a lot more work to do here than I thought.
Yeah, and I think sometimes like I see these TikToks and reels of like, oh, like, you know, he opened the door for me, or like, oh, my friend actually picked up the phone when I called. Like, the bar is literally on the floor. Like, the barrier of entry is almost non-existent when it comes to friendships and relationships, I feel like these days. And so we have to be the ones that raise the bar in our own life and say, hey, to qualify as a friend of mine, you have to XYZ, whatever your standards are. Or to be in a relationship with me, you have to ABC, whatever your standards are. And I think that really defining what it means to be your friend is one of the most important things that you can do for yourself, because then you won't get mistreated. And oftentimes, when we let other people mistreat us, it's kind of just a reflection of the way that we mistreat ourselves.
So true. And on the flip side of that, like I'm horrible with my phone and like responding to texts and email. It's like not one of my strong suits. But I had a friend and it was really bothering her. And she was like, it really bothers me that I text you and I don't hear back for like 24 to 48 hours. And I was like, you know what? I'm so sorry. Like that is unacceptable and I will work on that. Like the people in your life who truly want to be there and accept you and help you accept yourself, like you can have those conversations with them. If they get mad or defensive or ignore you, like, is that someone you really want to be close to you?
Yeah, I had a situation with a friend where I brought something up and I was just kind of like not okay with certain behaviors, and they got defensive and they played the victim and flipped the story. And I was like, okay, well, I definitely see where things stand between this. And I kind of, placed a little bit of distance between the two of us. But then I've had instances where I brought things up to friends, kind of similar to your story, whether it was me coming to them with feedback or them coming to me with feedback, and being able to openly say what you need and speak just vulnerably with them, it really helps even deepen the friendship and help you both understand your own needs. And I think that that's a really beautiful thing.
I do too. And this brings me to my next question about your self-acceptance journey. Do you think that quiet time and spending time with yourself in quiet time, because there's not much quiet time in this world, it's really easy to fill every second of every day. Do you think that quiet time had anything to do with helping you on this journey?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think my quiet time is the most important part of my day, personally, like on a very like tangible level. I don't pick up my phone first thing in the morning. I've really gotten away from scheduling anything before like 9:30 or 10, unless it's like a workout, right? I know,
Yes,
unless it's like a workout
yes.
and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna hit my 8 a.m. workout, then I'm gonna get to work, like whatever it is. But having really early morning obligations, I think just screws with the way that we naturally want to start the day. Like, it's cool to like hit the ground running, that's fine, but I've found way more success in starting the day slow with a cup of coffee, my Bible, my journal, and really just easing into the day, spending it with myself, spending it just thinking through what I really want out of this life, getting deep, getting vulnerable, and just enjoying starting the day slow. And then, my sister and roommate, she'll come out of her room and maybe we have coffee together, or maybe we hit a workout, or maybe we both start working for the day. However the schedule takes us, that's where it takes us. But I really, really believe in quiet time. And I also think too, like if you're feeling stressed throughout the day, we talked about stress a little bit before we started this episode. I'm personally feeling pretty stressed. It's the January stress. But I think just taking little moments throughout the day, being like, okay, I can walk away from my emails, I can walk away from my phone, I can go for a little, like a little walk around the block, or I can do like a quick little 10-minute yoga flow or a little meditation or just something to tap back into myself. I don't know if you've heard this phrase, but like go touch grass. Like, have people said that to you before?
No, but
Like,
I like it. Tell me more.
I know, I liked it. I liked it. Some of my friends in like who are still in college, they're like, okay, you need to go touch grass. Like when you're going a little too crazy, when you've been staring at your computer screen, when you've gotten a little bit too involved in whatever you're doing, go touch grass. Like just go be with nature. Take a moment for yourself. Like it's really not that deep. Like literally just go disconnect from what you're doing and reconnect with what really matters. So all of those little like tangible hacks have really helped. And then I also think on like a deeper level, just sitting in quiet, sitting in maybe we can call it like loneliness to some degree, or like the sun goes down, it's just you and your apartment, just not turning on the TV, just not, you know, procrastinating with like maybe cleaning your house or doing extra work for the day. Like, have you ever just sat there and like watched a candle burn? Or have you ever just sat there and just like sipped like a little glass of kombucha or something? Like just chilling? Like, I don't know. I feel like we always try to distract ourselves with things, but maybe just like truly sitting in the quiet and like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of good self-discovery happens there.
I agree. One of my mentors told me this like forever ago, and this was like before I started really diving into myself. She said, go within or go without, when I was like thinking about making important business decisions. And that has stuck with me through my entire journey. And I also heard another thing. It was about meditating. I've never been like super into journaling or meditating. I want to be desperately, but I was like, okay, is this something I actually want to be? Or is this what everyone's telling me I need to be? Journaling so far, not for me, but meditating has been for me. And Liz Moody described it as like a rep. So when you're like in the quiet, and you don't even have to think about it as meditating if you don't want to, like when you're in the quiet and your mind wanders and you pull it back, that's like one rep you've done of like training your brain to like be in the moment, which I found really interesting, right? Like think of it as like an exercise for your brain.
Wow. I love that. Because I've struggled with meditating because I'm such an overthinker. So the minute that I get quiet, I'm like, okay, I've got the to-do list and the grocery list, and I start kind of getting overwhelmed. Yeah. But I love that perspective.
Yeah, bring it back. And that's like one rep. I'm the same way. Like my brain's always going a mile a minute and thinking about all these things. And then I sit down to meditate and then my brain starts thinking about the craziest thing. It's like, remember that one time in college when we did this weird thing at a bar? And then I like start thinking about it and I'm like, okay, I got to go get out of this space. But I've been working on it and like it's just a rep. Then you pull it back to the present. And it's interesting what comes up, and I think a lot of self-discovery and acceptance happens when we're actually able to sit in the quiet with ourselves.
I totally agree. Absolutely.
All right, meditating. I'll work on the journaling thing. I'm just not sure if it's for me yet, you know?
I think with like all these self-development and improvement practices, like I don't know, there's something for everybody. I'm such a big like fan of writing, so I love to journal and I recommend it to everyone, but it's really not for everybody, you know? Or like meditating, like if you're such an overthinker and like if your anxiety is really bad, like deep breathing might be better, but meditating, you might just sit there and yeah, like you said, think of this embarrassing thing that you used to do, or make up, this is worse, making up scenarios in your head of like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I don't even know, like the places that your mind goes sometimes is like insane.
Yes.
But I actually had an interesting this is like a little bit of a tangent. I had an interesting conversation with a friend the other day about intrusive thoughts. And we decided that the more that we share our intrusive thoughts, granted, you know, if it's like a truly like personal, like inside thought, like keep it there. But if you have like a bad thought, tell it to someone and like have them like bring you back down to earth for a sec. Cause most of the time these ideas in our head are just ideas in our head. So phone a friend or be like, hey, can you just tell me that I'm being a little bit crazy for a second? And most of the time they'll be like, yeah, you're crazy. Or even like having that come out of your mouth, you'll be like, all right, I'm fine. You know?
Wait, this is so interesting. Cause I was in Sedona over the weekend and we were like rock climbing. And one of my friends was like, do you ever have intrusive thoughts? I'm like, all the time, girly, what's up? And she's like, what if I just flung off this mountain? And I was like, oh my God, I had the same thought. And then our two partners were like, what? You guys are thinking? And we're like, no, we're not thinking about jumping off the cliff. We're just like, what if we did? Like, and then we both felt better because we said it out loud. And then we're like, okay, that's not going to happen. We're not going to slide off this mountain. We're going to be okay.
No, literally, or like I probably, like if I was standing up there, I would have been like, yeah, I think that too. Or like there's this bridge that I drive over every day and I'm like, oh, what would happen if like the wind blew my car over the side of it? Like someone's going to get a hold of this episode. They're going to be like, these girls are crazy.
But
but it's true. It's like it's
intrusive thoughts are real.
We all have these intrusive thoughts. Yeah, they're so real. And so we just have to like, you know, either say them out loud or just kind of like shut them down in our own head or just be like, you know what? This is just an intrusive thought and it's not true. It's a lie. And, you know, we're moving forward from it.
Okay. So I have another question. And obviously we're on the Period Chats podcast, so I have to bring up periods. In this self-discovery journey and radical self-acceptance, I feel like our menstrual cycle is just something we fight, and it's such a hard part because there's so much shame embedded in us from an early age. Was getting in touch with your hormones, because I know because we talk that that's been part of your journey, did it have anything to do with your self-acceptance journey, or was there anything you learned along that process that you think would be helpful to share?
Oh my gosh, it has been such, I would just say, like, an honor to just tap into my cycle and tap into a more feminine version of myself. I think for such a long time, I was operating from like a masculine perspective, and whether it was, you know, make sure that you're getting up at 5 a.m. and hitting the gym and grinding at the office and, you know, doing this and hustle, and that kind of male routine works for them, but it doesn't work for women. And the more women that I talk to, the more we're all kind of like, hey, like, one day someone decided that, like, we were going to play both parts, and like, it just isn't really working well. And so I think tapping into my cycle and really better understanding my hormones was such a helpful tool in accepting myself. For such a long time, I would fight my period. And if I was feeling, you know, the days leading up to my period, if I was feeling sad or feeling really exhausted, I'd be like, oh, well, that's just a sign that you're not working hard enough. Why are you so exhausted? You already got sleep tonight, even if it was like, you know, 5 to 3 hours of sleep. You've already slept today. You can't take a nap. You know, you need to just go to the gym. You just need to sweat it out. However you're feeling is just a feeling, you know, go hit the sauna, get rid of it. And so really just like deciding that I wasn't going to subscribe to these ideas that, oh, my period is awful, it's just like the worst thing that's ever happened to me, and shift my perspective to like, hey, this is a helpful tool. This is my body's like monthly clock and my body's monthly emotions. And this time last week, I was like about to start my period, and so I took a nap and I let myself cry and I let myself, you know, decide that certain things were or were not working for me without making any big decisions, because I know, you know, in a couple days I'm going to be like, okay, girl, like, you were just about to start your period, like, it's fine. And so really just learning more about my cycle and helping to regulate my hormones has been so, so helpful. And I know that I told you this maybe last week when we talked, or maybe it was like a month ago. Like, I feel like time is,
what is time in this weird time?
What is time? No, literally, I think it was maybe before the holidays, but we were talking about Funk It and talking about seeds, and I was telling you how much more clear my skin has been and how much more just like gentle my periods have been, which is such a kind of a weird way to describe it, but they used to be like weeks long and like, this is probably TMI, but like really heavy flow, like weird colors, and now it's like maybe a couple of days I maybe fill up a handful of tampons and then I'm good. It's the craziest thing, but it truly does work.
Nothing is TMI. And I think so too. Like, for me, like, learning about my cycle was one of the most radical self-acceptance things I could do, because it was happening no matter what. And fighting it wasn't helping me. So when I finally accepted it, and I think what comes with radical self-acceptance, or what I've learned, is then you start to love yourself. And then you start to truly take care of yourself in ways that are meaningful and deeply beneficial for your long-term and short-term health. And then you have the space for community and relationships. And then you have the space to take care of other people. But if you don't do all those other things first, you really don't have the space for any of those things.
Yeah, it's such a chain reaction. And I think, you know, if you go backwards in the chain, like, that's how I ended up like in, for lack of a better word, rock bottom. Like, I ended up with such bad anxiety, with such bad panic attacks, with horrible acne just up and down my jawline, which is hormonal. And so for such a long time, I was kind of like working backwards in that, because I was so just sad. And like, I just misunderstood my body and misunderstood my mind. But then once I decided that, okay, my cycle is important to me and slowing down is important to me and truly tapping into my body and what it's telling me has to be my top priority, that's when everything started to change and I could really move forward in that kind of like self-improvement trajectory where I was doing things that my body truly did see benefits from. And then I was able to like my job more. I was able to find better friends. I was able to just kind of come back to the best version of myself without all like the outside chatter of the things that people told me I was supposed to do and be.
Amen to that. That sounds like exactly probably what we're all looking for. And then last but not least, one of your biggest accomplishments, which I'm so proud of you and excited for, is becoming an author. Can you tell us like a little bit more about that? Share what you can share, because I think that's a huge accomplishment. And, you know, would you have been able to do that if you hadn't been on this self-acceptance journey?
Well, thank you so much. This is my first, I guess it's not like my first ever like national publication. When I was 12, little backstory, when I was 12, I submitted this like little like fiction, but like nonfiction story about bullying into like a tween magazine. So that was my first publication. I know it was so cute. And like, I was just like this little 12-year-old. I like wrote this little story, submitted it. It was cute. The magazine was called Discovery Girl. Oh, I don't know if you ever like knew that. It might have been kind of more like my
age. I'm a decent bit older, so I feel like it's actually probably might not have been a thing yet.
So that was like our anthology is called Choosing Our Healing Through Radical Self-Acceptance. And I got to write a chapter in this book. So my chapter is called I Am Your Friend Too, and it is essentially my journey through radical self-acceptance because I learned how to love myself because of the ways it was demonstrated by the people around me. When for such a long time I was listening to the outside chatter, the noise, when all along I was being nursed back to health by the people that truly did love me. So that is kind of the premise of my chapter. But the book will be out on January 25th, anywhere you buy books. And to answer your question, I don't think I would have been able to write that chapter had I not truly tapped into what it means at a very deep, deep level of how to radically accept yourself.
So beautiful. So exciting. And I'm so excited to get the book. Like I just joined a book club too. So I was like, ooh, maybe this needs to be our book club book. This sounds like a great book club book.
I think it's going to be really, I know it's going to be really beneficial to so many women. My story is just one of 19. So I know that somewhere in that book, someone will relate to at least someone's story, if that kind of makes sense. So it's a great book to read with your girlfriends, a great book to read if you have ever struggled with accepting yourself, which I'm sure everybody who is listening to this has. You can get it on Amazon. I'm not sure when this episode's going up, but January 25th is when the book comes out. So if it's past January 25th, you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pretty much anywhere you buy books.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us and being vulnerable and talking about your journey. Self-acceptance is a tough journey that is lifelong, like we were talking about before, but thank you for being on and sharing with us.
Thank you, Kate, for having me.
And for everyone who's listening, if you know someone who would benefit from this episode, if you share the episode by sending it to them, it is the best way for our podcast to grow. And we would appreciate you so much because we know you tune in and listen every week. And we couldn't do this without you. And I love spending time with you. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening. And Lily, thank you so much for coming on. We'll link all of your Instagram, the book, all of your stuff in our show notes so everyone can connect with you.
Thanks, Kate, for having me.